Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right.
Yeah, you.
Stand up, Adam. What the fuck?
Green.
Well done. Proud of you, son. Looking the part.
You too, Jay.
Thank you.
The top hat. Yeah.
Do you know what? For a producer, he knows fuck all about where to be on these microphones, doesn't he? Dick. Where'd you get them clothes? Wayne Illica's house.
He's done you there, hasn't he, eh? He's done ya.
Where'd you get the shit joke? The shit joke story.
Anyway.
All right, so go on. We've got multi-award winning journalist, of course, Jason Motorzed.
Thank you, sir.
And we've got... What did you win last night?
Fuck all.
Oh, yeah, fuck all.
Yeah.
Wow, what was he up for winning?
I don't know, what was you up for winning?
Editor of the year.
Where's this at?
At uni, Salford uni, BAFTAs.
Right, and what you were nominated for?
Was that nominated for editor of the year.
For which piece that we did?
None of them. It's for like another piece I did. Oh. And I didn't win.
That's why then, isn't it?
But I did have about 12 glasses of red wine for free. And right. I don't remember getting home. And
pull that on your fucking LinkedIn tonight.
I came in today and I was pissed.
Yeah, you were.
And I was pissed at him when I see him.
Yes.
It's usually when we fucking see him.
Exactly.
I wouldn't know a sober Adam if I saw one.
No,
exactly.
Did we have the tweet?
The tweet.
Is that it there?
The infamous tweet. Yes. Never drinking again.
Yeah. Yes. Literally, he's that fucking drunk. I made a mug of him saying, never drinking again.
And it's
quite the opposite there, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey. Oh, no, actually, they kind of mean the same thing.
Sober as fucking, never
it's just
drinking
one's
again.
One's ironic and one's just factual.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Black kit.
Yeah, that's kind of nothing. Lucky I'm not winning, but at least you got nominated, and that's what counts.
That's what losers say.
That's what losers say.
That's what I said to the other people.
Didn't get the 3 points this
didn't
time.
Didn't win the awards that I won.
Didn't get 3 points this time, but you know, go again next week. Go on a Michael Carrick press conference excuse.
I hate press conferences.
They're shit, aren't they?
I hate them.
What is the point?
You know what they're going
to say? I hate that the embargo stuff for papers.
Yeah.
Fuck your papers.
I know, and that's always the best stuff. Like, they'll just give bland
and
answers.
And do what? Like, and fuck the Sunday papers.
Yeah.
Embargo till 10:30 for the. All right. Well, what about the pigeon carriers? Right. What about fucking telegrams?
Wow.
What about parchment? Right.
It's
and then
so
we embargo
archaic,
some shit for Sundays. Right. Do some other work.
Not telling anyone suck eggs. Just explain what embargo means because some people may know what the fuck
embargo
you're
means.
You know what I mean? To be fair,
press conferences, football press conferences. For starters, they're beige as fuck. They're so shit.
Horrible. Horrible.
There hasn't been a good question asked since about 2002, right? In a single press conference.
Someone that used to do press conferences more recently than that, I'll disagree, but go on.
2005?
Yeah, come on, fair enough.
Since Roy Keane left.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you get to ask questions. Some of the questions are an absolute fucking waste.
Yep.
And it's some of our mates that ask the questions in them as well.
Do you know what though, right? You're right. No,
and I know some of
point.
Them are told to
yeah,
ask that question.
I've been in that situation where I, you know...
Can you be the one that asked about
ask
injuries?
Him about Gabriel Jesus on his scooter? No, I don't want to. Go on, it'll be really funny.
But didn't Fergie used to come out with an itinerary of what he was going to talk about?
Fergie was great because what Fergie did was he took the questions out of the press conference. That was his novel approach to press conferences. He sat down and just spoke without any questions. And he was the only one that did that. And then others started copying him. So he'd sit down and he'd talk about what he wanted to talk about. So he'd say things like, you know, I don't know, Rio Ferdinand's got an injury.
So he'd give you the injury update.
Yeah, give you the injury update.
Give you a quote about
the
opposition.
And then he'd say, yeah, you know, Bolton are a good team. Allardyce has got them playing good football. Yeah. Da, 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 da.
So you don't have to have that bone question of, what do you think about Wimbledon?
And then basically as well, everything he spoke about then was what he wanted to talk about. So, Karen played over there, so everyone had a drink. And he was very sort of happy and jovial.
Didn't he win manager of the player of the year?
I think it was, it was 2013, it was that one. So he had like, you know, the big magnums of champagne that the Carlin or whatever it was, the Premier League give you. And then, So he was all right like that. And it's like all managers can be moody or they can be happy. But there was times where Fergie had like so many tricks like in the book to just piss people off, or just because when he was like, he'd do things like flick mics off. So everyone would put the microphones and the recorders down and he'd just flick them off as he was talking, or he'd do this. Just cameramen have got something to focus on. Or he'd shut you out of the press conference and, you know, ban you. But yeah, it was like, I remember going to a Fergie press conference, absolutely bricking it. And my dad said, don't worry, you don't have to ask any questions. So I was just like, phew. Because, you know, obviously, I know I don't like to talk about it, but I interviewed Sir Alex recently. But that was different because I was always scared if I went to a press conference and I could ask him something that, to me or you, is the most innocent question. Yeah. But for whatever reason, he could be infuriated by it because he just didn't want to answer it, or he'd answered it last week and you didn't know, whatever. So yeah.
It's like the whole never meet your heroes thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
In case they say something bad and then your perception of it changed.
Bollocks, get new heroes.
Well, it was like that because I remember when I did the Europa one once and it was Jose, and I asked him about Andy Martial and he was fine. He just gave me a normal answer and he was playing well. And the guy next to me, I can't remember who it was, asked him a follow up question and he went apeshit. Like, started screaming at him. Like, I thought, thank God that wasn't me, because I'd probably been in tears.
Must like you, Jose.
I think it was just that was that one more question about Martial that pushed him over.
Well, anyway, in press conferences, they have obviously a handful of questions, and so many of them are just underarm, just pish.
Yeah.
Who's injured?
Have you been to a press conference? Did you get chucked out or bad?
No.
Because you were, was there a thing one where you.
No, I got. Through working for the Premier League,
yeah.
I did some stuff where I was, I got press access, but it was never press conference access. And for the derby, the first Pep Jose derby, I did something on the pitch for, is it called the Big Match? Something like that. It's basically like Soccer AM, but it's a worldwide thing. It doesn't happen in England. That the Premier League put out to like syndicate to everyone.
Right.
It's called the Big Match or something.
Is that
like
what you did the post-match stuff as well? There was one where you were in like a bar with, like, I think Laura Woods was there. And
no, that
I
was
remember getting
AM.
Home and you were on the telly. I was like,
Soccer AM, that was.
Oh, was it?
No, the thingy one was, it was before the match. So because it was before the match, I had a press pass. So I was in the press room. I just sat down and chatted to Paddy Creran, which was mint, and Andy Mitten. and that was it, really. And it wasn't in the press conference, so I didn't even think I have an option to go in.
Right.
But yeah, it was. There was no press conference access to me. I've offered my services to heckle shit questions. It's not been accepted yet.
The thing is, United as well, it's so limited. Like, you get 5 minutes of broadcast and then probably about 10 minutes for the embargo bit for the papers.
Yeah, so they save a bit for the papers.
Yeah. Because the idea being is if everything goes out at once, then the papers for the morning are not going to have anything new on him. Which, as you're pointing out, is kind of like old school because, I mean, the embargo is...
What about people who make stone fucking tablets?
Yeah, exactly. Like they haven't got enough time to write their hieroglyphics. Yeah.
And then they also embargo some random shit, and I don't know how often this still happens, for the Sunday papers.
Yeah, yeah. They used to do a separate one where, for the first embargo, you'd all do it in the same room, and then for the Sundays, they'd go into another room and, like, take the Sunday journalists with them. Which was all very, you know, cloak and dagger, and I was never involved in that. But yeah,
he definitely had custard creams in that one.
Of course he did. But yeah, it's like you say, and everything all that happens is now anyway, is at 10:30 at night when the embargo's lifted, everyone tweets it. So you've got no reason to go out and buy the paper if you don't want to, because it's online anyway.
And the newspapers put it on their websites before they put it out in their newspaper the next day.
So it doesn't make much sense to me.
It's fucking nonsense, yeah. I mean, I don't have a better way of doing it necessarily, apart from allow me to heckle the shit questions.
Yeah.
But on a serious note, and obviously from a personal interest note, I'd love to see more tactical questions in. And I don't know how many of them would be asked, and I don't know how many of them would be answered, and I don't know how many of them you'd get the truth on. Like every question in a press conference, you can't expect the truth when you ask them. And Chael Sonnen, the MMA fighter, has got a brilliant thing on this. As soon as one fight ends, the promo and the mind games for the next one starts, as soon as. And he goes, and you owe nobody anything, including the truth, in press conferences.
You did that's a good one, that. But you did a press conference with the mayor, didn't you, not long ago?
Wasn't really a press conference, no.
What was that? Was it an interview or...?
It was sort of a bit of a Q&A
for
it. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily like a press conference. There was a bit of back and forward for it. And I did ask some questions. Nobody else asked any questions. And I think it was because no one else gave a fuck about what they were talking about. But it was really good stuff. It was for the future of football and...
Kind of important.
Things like that. Yeah. And you just think, all these fucking journalists here, just sitting here, like... you got to add value to your craft, haven't you? Mm. You're just taking the notes of a question somebody else asked and somebody else answered. Well done.
Yeah, and I think that the thing with Andy Burnham is obviously you can get him on anything.
I think press conferences, though, it's just playing it safe. It's a formula that isn't broke. Don't fix it.
Yeah. Well, it's fucking double broke.
I know it's double broke, but when you think about it, like, from a newspaper's perspective, do you think they're asked, are they going to sell papers on the back of it saying, like, here's why Ollie plays 4-3-3 now? It might to
not
us.
Not necessarily.
Do you know what, though? Like, what you're saying, I think it was Paul Rancaster who asked Jose a question that a bit more tactical. And he was like, Jose was like, I'm going to read out, by the way, we've got some super chats. Do get involved in the chat and hit that like button. I will read out some super chats in a minute. But I think I'm pretty sure it's Paul Rancaster asked Jose a technical or tactical question, sorry. And he was like, that's a really good question. And I think I think managers would like that. I just think that in the defence of journalists, it's like a lot of the time, you've either got a line that you need to get out of him, you've got a story that you're trying to cover, or your readers, you know, by and large, not everyone, I'm not insulting him, but we'll just want to hear, like, you know, Jose rants about ref or whatever,
but it's like,
rather than Jose explains why he went from about 3 to about 4 or whatever.
Yeah, but that's something that I think is way more of a valuable. Like, because I sit there and I watch the press conferences and someone's like, any update on signings? Oh, I never talk about signings. We all knew he was going to say that.
Yeah. I mean, I've had it with Pep Guardiola shut me down once when we were doing this thing, referees had gone on strike across, you probably remember it, across like Sunday League and everything, about 4 years ago. They'd just been getting abused and like this young lad called Ryan had sort of announced his strike and got this strike going. So I asked him something a little bit about that, sort of framing it around, you know, respect for the officials, and he was just like, I'm not talking about officials, I don't talk about referees. And I was like, trying to reword it, but asking the same question, you know, I understand, you know, what do you think there's a level of respect that there should be, or whatever, I can't remember what exactly the thing was saying. I don't talk about it. He just wouldn't. But it was like, I had to ask him because we were doing that story. I remember one lad who asked Manuel Pellegrini about rainbow laces because he was covering a story about it. And he just had a felt for him because he was trying to explain. And Manuel Pellegrini's like, going to his interpreter. And it was just like a waste of fucking time because he didn't know what he was on about and he didn't answer it. But he had to ask because that's the story you're covering.
Well, get that. But it's the Bowman's about who's injured. Who you signing? You won 6-0 last week. Was everyone pleased with that?
Yeah. Bit footy manager, isn't it?
No, yeah. I've had to fucking lift them all week after fucking. Yeah. They come in, honestly. There's like a cloud over the place after winning. What the fuck kind of questions? Literally, that was all I wanted to do. I said, listen, I'll just sit in the back and I'll say nothing. And then when you get one of them, we're like, he's not going to fucking answer that, is he, you dick?
I mean, personality's just been ripped out on it. Like, you seen Alanga after the Wolves game, and it was like, Christ. You know, there's an interview here with someone who's just actually buzzing that he's just scored his first United game.
Think about Clough with Sky, if we'd have had Clough and Sky properly, because we had it for like a year.
The thing is, though, with that Alanga thing, look
1970s
at
then, version.
Go 2 years in the future and watch an interview with him, and he'll say the same. He'll say the same shit that everyone else says.
Yeah, and I can tell you what he's going to say before he gets out.
I'm delighted I scored a hat trick at the Stretford End against Liverpool, but I'm more happy.
Yeah, I've worked hard for this my entire life, and the team played well, and really, I just finished it, and boo.
Yeah.
Mate, in the super chat, Alfie Palmer says, hi lads, did you see Gary Neville give Poch and Southgate the credit for Luke Shaw's revival on Wednesday? Sad to see even Neville not give Ollie credit. That's a good question, that. Do you think Ollie deserves credit for what we've seen with Luke Shaw?
100%.
Yeah. Because I've seen this. I've seen Trevor Sinclair, who I don't like name checking on him, forgive me, but saying like Guardiola deserves credit for what he's done with Sterling, and I think Sterling's playing at a level.
He's a £50 million player.
Yeah, as a teenager. And I think he scored as many goals in his last season at Liverpool as he got last season.
Yeah.
So he's progressed the way you'd expect a player of that talent to.
The transformation of what Shaw has been the last 6 months versus what he was in his time under Jose. You know, and I've seen a ton of people going, oh, are you going to fucking take back what you said about Shaw? No, because it was fucking 100% accurate at the time. At the time, Brandon Williams was keeping him out of the team.
Yeah.
This is the thing, though. Players' form obviously changes. Things can happen in both players' lives, and they've obviously crossed paths again. And Luke Shaw's probably untouchable at the moment at left back. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. But clearly the manager deserves a lot of credit for that, because what he walked into and the performances that we got out of Luke Shaw in the earlier days, at least, of Ollie, was shit. There was a reason a shit Ashley Young was starting ahead of him. There was a reason Brandon Williams was starting ahead of him. And it wasn't because he was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so Shaw's got to get some credit for sticking at it and listening and taking on board whatever feedback he's got. But I think you have to give some credit, because people for some reason are really reluctant to give Ollie any credit at all here. But Ollie absolutely has to take some credit.
It's, I mean, when you look at...
And for Fred's improvement.
Yeah, when you look at... I'm going to set him off now with that one. When you look at the time we bought Alex Telles...
Go from there to there, you know, still improvement.
There was a lot of talk on that Telles was going to come in as first choice. It wasn't always like, oh, he's coming in as backup. At that time, people
shows
you. There was a debate, though. Do you know what I mean?
Shows
like,
you
even
how
a conversation. I'm not saying that it was definitely going to happen.
That shows you the trajectory Shaw's had.
Conversation, yeah, yeah.
Because even at the start of the season, this season, that's why I say, for me, it's been 6 months, because there were still some glaring errors. And actually, nice one for Nemanja Vidic, has literally pointed out exactly what I've been saying about him all season. Start of the season, there's still a lot of work positionally and defensively to do. He's always had that sort of potency in attack, but he started adding some good defensive performances to that as well. And he has.
I think he suffered at the start of the season as well, because I think people underestimate, and it kind of ties in with this, how influential and important Harry Maguire is. And Harry Maguire had fallen off a cliff, that's being harsh, but he wasn't his usual self after what had gone on in Mykonos and all the rest of it. He came into the start of the season. They hadn't had a proper pre-season. There's all this drama going on. Maguire's under the cosh. And I think you need Maguire to be himself to help get the best out of those around him, because I think that's an underrated part of his game, is the way he communicates with his defenders. You see those. He carries the ball out a lot, and he helps Ollie with the style he's trying to implement.
It's international football, isn't it? Yeah. Because if Maguire makes a mistake for England, the first thing people aren't going is, that's an £80 million player, that. He's just there already. Like, the players don't pick the fees. Maguire's just a very good footballer. Like, when Maguire plays for England or United, he's the exact same calibre of player. He's top.
Yeah, 100%. We've got another super chat. Robert McCarthy says, random, but found a mint condition match day programme from the first game after Munich in 1958. I think this is a Sheffield Wednesday game, isn't it, where there was no team in it, you have to fill it in.
Yeah.
Hidden away in Dad's cupboard. He didn't know how rare it is. I mean, that's a find, that.
Frame it, cherish it.
Yeah, 100%.
We've got that framed, and we've got the babes to sign it.
Really?
Yeah, Nana got it back in the day, and then it's got all the babes signed. You know, they used to just queue outside Old Trafford and just wait for them all.
I got on the bus with them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
even in the 80s and the 90s, you used to be able to do stuff like not get on the bus with them, but not far off.
Says that. It's like a trigger word. It's like, Nobby Styles used to get on the bus with those 53.
I didn't notice until recently that they used to stick the match-worn shirts in the Megastore in the 90s.
Wow.
What?
It's like 100 quid. Yeah, there's Robbo's shirt from last night against Liverpool.
Imagine that.
But it wasn't common knowledge.
Mate. You've got a time machine. Go back and get
what
it.
Mean?
What shirt would you get?
Yeah, which one would you get?
Get any shirt from United.
Any
player.
Cantona, Sellers Park, 95.
You're not getting Hughes, 1991.
That's a good one.
Hey.
I was just giving me an order. Like that one. That shirt.
Yeah.
That for me is the pinnacle of the shirts.
Yeah.
Matt Tate. Clayton Blackmore's from 91, maybe.
David Mays from 99.
Different place from
get out.
That's the point. Yeah, which one from 99? It'd be Ollie's. Let's not pretend otherwise. Ollie's from 99.
Keane's Juve.
No, do you know what I'd have? Fucking hell.
99.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind having. Keane's Juve shit. Any of Beckham's that season.
Just to smell it.
Like.
Oh, different.
Yeah, well, yeah, that as well. Yeah, and other things. It's David Beckham, isn't it? Come on. But, like, in the final, he was one of the few United players who was mint. Like, because that final wasn't great.
No.
And it's like, we might all sit here and go, I'm not disputing, we won and it was great, and obviously I'm not saying we were crap, but if you look at a lot of that game...
Well, you take Roy Keane and Paul Scholes out of any team,
yeah,
it's going to be a bit
suffer. Exactly. And Bayern Munich had most of the possession, they had most of the chances, but if you look at our players who played really well, Beckham was probably our standout throughout the 90 minutes, and it was... You know, it's a similar thing throughout that competition. You know, you look at Inter, Juve, obviously Roy Keane was the main man, but Beckham had a great game that night as well.
I don't need to repeat it, but Beckham was sensational in 99.
Yeah, I think
it's weird with that. He's the most well-known footballer in the world, bar none. Everyone knows him, Bram Beckham and all that. And he's so underrated as a player.
It's because
so underrated.
A lot of fans probably had him shoved down their throats and didn't quite realise. Because he wasn't like Ronaldo, 50 goals a season. No. I mean, I saw something the other day, Ronaldo's got 59 goals in his last 60 internationals for Portugal. What?
When I was a kid growing up, Bex was, at the time, like the talisman at United, doing everything sort of just went through him the last
incredible.
Few years. Like, every kid in the playground when I was there was trying to, you know, every kid was taking crosses like Bex, you know, you swing your arm out like that, just because you wanted to be like him.
I told you the other day, didn't I? I feel old. I was at training the other day.
Go on.
Working on some pattern play in the final third. Move one of the lads over. Got a young Argentinian lad called Luca. Stuck him over on the right hand side. I said, right, what I want you to do, just knock it out of your feet, and I want a front post head height Beckham sort of in swinger. And he went, what's a Beckham in swinger? Are you fucking kidding me?
Mate, and really?
I went, Trent. And he went, got you.
That's so
how much I had to die?
Oh, did a little bit of vomit come up in your throat? Like,
to be fair to him, he nailed it.
Right, fair enough. Yeah, Beckham.
Still fucking wounded.
I always think with Beckham, there's that element, like, we see it with Bruno, don't we, now, where it's like the revisionist theory of, like, he's not that good. And I think there's people that say that about Beckham. You know what Beckham were like? He was just, you know, he went out of a pop stand and was like, you know, he wore a skirt now and again. And no, he was fucking mint.
It was unreal.
Do you think the perception would have been changed because people rank it all Ballon d'Ors now if he should have rightfully won it in 99?
I think there's an element of that. And I think also stats, because people can't get their head around the fact that I've seen people comparing Beckham's numbers to like Salah's. Like, they're both wingers.
The game's changed.
And, like, no...
Not only that, but even, like, you compare his numbers to Trent, I think Trent's probably got more than him in a single season. Right. That's probably a thing.
Well, it's like Zidane, isn't it?
But the game has changed. Yeah. Like, there's more goals in games than they were then.
Yeah. It's like Zidane as well, isn't it? It was his best ever season at Madrid in, like, 9 goals, 9 assists.
Right, listen, so I talked about this on the watch-along the other day, and people lost their fucking minds, I said.
I struggled to believe that people would lose their minds or something.
The 5 watch-along, we had to delay by about 10, 15 minutes because you, Joel, and Crazy Ginger Cabby were just... arguing like fuck to the point where I couldn't even interject. I was like, guys, we need to go live. But these guys are like, nope, the stats say this. It doesn't matter about stats.
Zidane was a France player, not a club player. So I said, Zidane is very similar to Paul Pogba in terms of he looks sensational in a France shirt,
right?
But has probably underwhelmed for his club. And people go, brr. Listen, here's the truth. Zidane was inconsistent. There was one season, I think it was 03-04. Zidane had more red cards and assists, and more own goals and goals.
Right,
Zidane.
Right.
Funny. And think about the team he was in.
Yeah.
Right? Zidane was a world-class French player, and he was a very, very, very good Juventus and Real Madrid player. But much like Paul Pogba, never really hit that consistency. And loads of people who... Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Haven't fucking watched either Zidane at Real or Zidane at Juve. Are going to be arguing in the comments now telling me I'm wrong.
Right.
Which I know is a fact. Here's what happened. He won the league in his second season for both Juve and for Real Madrid, and he was the best player in the team in both of those seasons. After that, disappeared. Especially at Juve. He won the World Cup with France in 98 after winning the league with Juve when he was the best player in both of those things. He was arguably the best player in the world in 1998. But he had some sort of mad hangover, just fucked off, disappeared, didn't fucking do a damn thing in a Juventus shirt, popped up again in the year 2000 and won the Euros for France.
What did Zidane do to you?
Nothing. I'm really, just someone
really
to talk
into
about
this,
him.
Aren't you? God, you know
and
what
then
mean?
He did the same sort of thing at Real Madrid.
There's people, season, I'll get to you in the go on. Sorry, finish point.
Won the league in his second season, was the best player in that team. And then by the time that it was coming to an end for him, he was. Jory was a bit like. There was a bit of a gigs thing going on where those last 5 years just...
Yeah.
You actually got some people agreeing with you. Alex Bailey says, no, Steve is correct. Purple Haze says, you're spot on, Steve. Marcelo, 83, says, spot on Zidane. Spot on about Zidane, sorry. Although Mustafa Diallo says, dude, you're wrong.
Joy, he's probably the same sort of guy who thinks Maldini's a centre-half.
No, I mean...
Is he a highlights player as well, Zidane?
Let's face facts, though. I don't
like... Way, because honestly, Zidane did some player. Magic shit. Magic shit. Yeah. Like the Marseille turns, the fucking iconic. Controls from goal kick flicks and just...
Here's a question, though. The Gamba Pradan says... Steve's going to say, look at the stats. Times changed for Beckham, but what about Zidane?
Okay, so he got as many own goals as goals.
Right.
What? I mean, that's not about the game stretching a little bit. That's a net 0 goals in a season.
You seem to have quite a few people agreeing with you.
They're expected goals.
I think you have 3 assists and 3 red cards. Come on, man. You can't spin that into the game changed a little bit, so the stats are worth a bit less now.
Yeah. Yeah, own goals cost less back in 2001. Like,
and again, that's literally the stats. I mean, it's the watching the anonymity of him in those games, in the league.
I just think...
Still was quite good in Europe, though.
I just think with...
Juan Sebastian Verón style.
With Zidane. There's that element for me watching him from my memory, which is pretty fucking hazed anyway, of him having that ability that almost no other player's got of, we're winning this game today.
When he decides to.
Yeah. Like
Paul Pogba.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
that was the point I was trying to make.
On a scale of like, what's this? The Champions League final? Yeah.
Again, and this is what people
remember.
The
World Cup final, we're winning this. What, Brazil? No.
And people egg those games because... It was the final.
Yeah.
But then you look at the likes of David Beckham, who gets told he's overrated. But he was there in every single moment.
I get what you. I get your point that you're making.
Just raw consistency and output and pressure moments. Whether it was the fucking Greece goal, hey, it's the last minute, it's a free kick. You need to stick this in the top bins or no World Cup.
Yeah, got it, mate.
Fucking gadouche. Not in, not even close to being in fucking down. Wonder, tables and sausages all over the show.
Wonder who R9 prefer playing with in that in that team.
I reckon he probably got more assists off Beckham.
Figo as well, yeah. Because some of the balls he hit for Madrid were just unbelievable. Like, there's one where he fucking hits it from like his own half, just straight up to Ronaldo. And it's just like one touching in, and it's like...
Mate, you see when he came back in the 99 reunion, he was still pinging them about Beckham.
Like, yeah. Did you see it a bit where he was
doing
one,
care,
two?
Like, a 75-yard pass...
It was the best right-wing performance I've seen at Old Trafford. It
was still a 75-yard pass. I know it's different. People going, you could play it, probably he couldn't, but... That's still an amazing ability to pick out passes at that age.
Did you see the bit where he pinged it to Giggs?
Shut up, Stan.
He pinged it to Giggs, like 40 yards up that way, and then he pinged it straight back to him. They did a 1-2 across the entire length of the pitch, and I'm like, you're about 50, and you're about 49. Why? How are you doing this? And it's one of them, isn't it? Everyone turns around and goes, could start United's team now, them two, couldn't they? I'm like, no, probably not.
Back good.
Juju Salah says, if Pogba goes, can Van de Beek and Camavinga work? If we get Camavinga,
it's mega projectionist, isn't it, to think that they could both step up and be that level. Now, they've probably both got the potential to do that, but asking him to do it like next month is...
I think Camavinga's just a Pogba, like, to... I'm sick of buying players and then just shoehorning them into a six position. We did it with Fred. Fred's not really a six, but it was like...
I think Camavinga could be. Here's the thing, because he's 18 and they've sort of bodged him around a few different positions. I really think he could be. He is going to be a special player, but asking him to come in and fucking start, like, next week's...
But that's the thing, we need that. We need that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I'm not happy that there's Saul Nick West talk going to Liverpool.
There's a comment here, there's a chat. Saul going to Liverpool, all the top Athletic journals saying, Steve, someone tagged me in a tweet going, are you gutted? I'm not like, I don't know much about him. You do. I even, you know, pronounced his name wrong when I was...
But I do, but fuck him.
But, you know, that's obviously something more for you. But do they need him? Because haven't they got like, I don't know, like with Alcantara,
with Alcantara, Fabinho, and
is it like Keita there?
And with Sal, and Keita, that's four tasty midfielders. If they're going to switch up, and to be honest, they should. So Klopp's had this same sort of system. I mean, if you include Dortmund, he's had it longer, but he's been building this kind of system at Liverpool now for like, 6 years? There's a time to at least evolve it. So if he wants to evolve it, fuck me, that midfield of whether that's Keita or Fabinho, Sal and Thiago is a hell of a midfield three or four. Whatever the fuck you.
Because you don't get Thiago as a runner. No. And then you don't let Wijnaldum leave.
Nah, and that was the one. It's like, ooh, letting Wijnaldum go in there's a bit funky. So Klopp's crafty.
Yeah, I think Henderson can do both.
He's a bit scouse in his actions. We were talking about this before, wasn't he? Like, he was the perfect tracksuit wearing fucking scruff. Who's basically just like a bit scousing how he acts and overboard and everything like that. He's not thick though.
No.
He knows the game and letting like Wijnaldum go without having a Sal lined up is madness. And I'll be gutted, I was good when Thiago went there. I thought he was going to win the league.
I was with you on that one.
So I hope I'm wrong again.
I revelled in it when he lost six home games on the trot. If anyone saw my social media, Alex Bagley in the chat says,
"Good that on it."
Yeah, it was mint.
One of my best wanks.
But how many expected mates did he have?
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Who was that? Baggers.
Baggers, yeah.
More than fucking you.
Yeah, exactly. Just want to touch on Maguire as well because you know we mentioned earlier. Everyone's talking about Luke Shaw and Shaw, Berto, Carlos, and all that sort of stuff, but. In terms of, if you want to go with the narrative that journalists in the British press all love about redemption and everything, you look at his last summer with Maguire, obviously everything going wrong there when he went on holiday. People constantly questioned him over his transfer fee, which isn't his fault. Now he's being lauded as one of the best, if not the best, at the moment, centre-back on the planet because of the way he's played in the Euros and the fact that others
are injured.
I know. I mean, what do you make of it all, Steve? Like, the sort of the Maguire narrative, if you will.
For some reason, and this probably links in with both Pogba stuff and Zidane talk, what happens in international tournaments seems to echo a lot stronger than full league campaigns.
Yeah.
Because they last a month, because everyone gets to watch all of the games and you can form a big opinion on them. Whereas watching a full season of La Liga or Serie A or something like that on top of watching your own club teams, fucking graft. Mm. You know, I record a fucking reetload of games to watch at home over a weekend and... and binge watch tons of it to be able to catch up, to have any fucking clue what's going on around the rest of Europe. Otherwise, like, obviously with United games, tons of work. I'm fucking training and coaching my own team as well. There's work goes into actually being able to watch more than, you know, it's fucking hard work. Luckily, BT boxes you off because they have, I mean, they must have paid a fucking nothing for all of the rights to every other fucking league. It's sensational. But because it's usually on free-to-air TV, the entire world gets to watch it, or at least the entire continent gets to watch it. Everyone gets to have these opinions. That's why you always see a superstar emerge from a tournament, because you need to have six games,
yeah,
or five games, or even three games. You did it in the knockouts and score a load of goals. Everyone thinks you're amazing.
Yeah.
And you can just hit a purple patch of form in a tournament and everyone thinks you're sensational. Harry Maguire is probably just getting the plaudits he deserves for 75% of the season he had at United. Yeah.
And as well, it's like the England PR machine. It's just when you're winning, everyone feels good. And it's amazing. You know, when England win, the whole country's buzzing. You know, you walk out round here, Stevenson Square's absolutely
whole country
mad.
Bit presumptuous.
Whole country minus Stephen. But
it's not, I'm not my own.
Yeah, true. But the thing is like, in when like, we haven't conceded a goal apart from the last match.
Right.
Who's so, we?
Sorry, England haven't conceded a goal apart from the last match.
Who's in the fucking squad, Adam?
Hang on. So, there's been nothing to say anything negative. Pickford's got the brunt of it mainly, and now he's getting his flak for it. The moment that there's anything that happens in a game that's mildly negative, the entire emotion flips on that player. And if Maguire drops an absolute clanger in the final,
they'll
be like, you know, will we see the whole dartboard in the sun? Are we going to see the effigies? Yeah, and then all this will be forgotten about, and they'll go, we could have won that, but you fucked it up for us. Yeah. And that's your
There's going to be a villain.
Of course there is. They're always...
A United player.
I was worried, you know, when the free kick... I don't know if you watched the game when Denmark scored the free kick, because it was against Shaw, the free kick.
Yeah.
It was a soft free kick. For me, it was just proper... It wasn't a free kick. And also, Pickford should have got it. It wasn't even
tiny
near
arms.
The post. But I was thinking, dinosaur. Is Shaw going to get the ball, mate? Is this going to be... Shaw's cost us his game by giving away that free kick, because like you say,
that's the first thing that went through my head.
To demonise a United player, and it's like, if it weren't for him doing that, we'd have won. And I think, what are you on about? But you know that's how it happens. Ronaldo got it for beating us.
I saw Mike McGrath, didn't he mate us after we had him on the pod?
Yeah, he is.
Right, so I'll only be a bit harsh on him, right? He tweeted something about like Sterling's dive, that's revenge for 98 and 06, and you're like, what do you mean? What happened in 98 and 06? That was injustice. Beckham.
Yeah.
What happened to Beckham was bangers, but he deserves to be sent off.
Oh, I don't know.
Or, you know, at least booked. Mm. He committed an act, whether he was a red or yellow is arguable, but he did it.
Yeah.
Like, let's not pretend like there was nothing that happened.
The 98 one, I can understand, because I always think that was a harsh red card. And yes, I am biased. 06, was that the stamp?
Yeah, but.
That's not.
What's harsh?
No, that's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Harsh. And I saw
that's a red card all day long.
I saw a footy, like, I think it was straight offside or something like that, a footy account that was like, look at all these injustices. And they shown Ronaldo winking and you're like, whoa. What's that in there for? Yeah.
But that's even now, 15 years later, people still think we would...
Yeah, Ronaldo winked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rooney stood on someone's bollocks.
On the game as well on Sunday, in 90 minutes, the emotions can be so different to the point where you're going to have players that are going to be targeted by the press, have no protection by the FA, nothing. Or... a majority of that team are going to get knighthoods and statues built outside the stadium.
Oh, that's how it's going down. Yeah.
And there's no in between.
There's going to be
no in between.
And if it's one of the black players, they will be racially abused horrendously.
Yeah, they will.
Right? If it's one of the players for a smaller club, it might get away with it. If it's a United player, they are fucked.
Yeah.
Because the entire country just goes, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Players like...
Do you know the best person it could be is Grealish?
Grealish, Bellingham.
Yeah.
They've got nothing. Bellingham's young lad who's in Dortmund. No one seems to care about football outside of these borders, and that's about it. So I think this Italy team's underrated by everyone here, because the only Italian that we've seen is Jorginho. Yeah. And we'd say, in that midfield, Kante, he's better than him. Mason Mount, well, he's better than Jorginho. And then you look at the rest of this Italy team and you go, shit.
This is why it's not the best 11, it's the 11 best. Or not the 11 best, it's the best 11.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what... some of the parts.
To be fair, I'm...
I need knockout football. You don't have to be the best team.
No, I've bagged on Southgate for picking Saka. Maybe that's his version of that, because he thinks he's getting something out of Saka. But when I watch him, I go, objectively, this isn't the case. Maybe.
You do question.
The thing with Southgate is, I've questioned, I think, every single lineup he's done. Mm. And I've questioned every single substitution I think he's made as well. Mm. And I think most of the country has. Well,
that's
he's got us to a final.
But there you go. And that, unfortunately, is if he wins,
yeah,
there will be no inquest.
No.
Yeah.
But there's been plenty of mistakes. Like, Harry Kane is, and I'm probably starting to become, like, this is a thing now.
A broken record. With
Calvert-Lewin. Calvert-Lewin not in the squad and you're picking Connor Cody. I'm more likely to come on than Connor Cody. Let's have it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got an injury-prone Harry Kane. You've got a guy that can get you goals, right? Now, Denmark score first. Mm. Denmark immediately went into a low block, denied the space, and just fucking let England come in. England started having to go with direct balls into the box. Mm. For who? Saka fucking Sterling. Because Kane was nowhere near the box. Yeah. Now, we got back into it. Mm. But if you don't, that becomes...
We, yeah.
England got back into it. So that becomes increasingly obvious how that sort of plays out. If you've got a Calvert-Lewin, not a drama, because if you're pumping long balls up, here's a guy that's going to get something at the end of him and probably going to get you a goal. But he's not even on the bench, and it's in fucking sane not to have that option on the bench.
I think
12 fucking substitutes.
I think with Southgate, though, and you saw it, I think it was against Croatia where when Marcus comes on, he plays him down the middle. Then he moves into right. I think in his head he's thinking, if I need a striker, I've got Marcus. And I think he did it against, was it Scotland as well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scotland, he brought him on, he played him down the middle. Yeah. It might have been
Marcus ain't winning a fucking head against Warwick Davis.
You know that. But I think Southgate even said that. He said like, oh, you know, Marcus gives us a different option and da-da-da. So I think he's thinking...
What does Calvert-Lewin do?
I mean, he'd
be in the fucking six-yard box. For two, he'd win an header.
If you play Marcus, you play him on the left or don't play him.
I don't get Kane. He's frustrating. Because it's like he wants to be every player at the same time. And it's like, no, just be the goal scorer that you are and you'll piss it.
Adam McCullough's in the chat as well. He says it was a stonewall penalty, to be fair. Surav Mukherjee, forgive me if I butchered that one, says, what impact a win can have on our side? Our players have been criticised by every Tom, Dick and Harry for messing up in the big matches. But for a change, I saw Maguire and Shaw so calm in this tournament.
That's one thing about this entire England side that I will give Southgate credit for. He seems to have them playing confidently.
Yeah.
Like, they're calm and they're confident. And I think one of the issues that England had before, and possibly it is because of the relationship that he's allowed with the press and the media and stuff like that. Even things like the Lions Den, where they have the players, like, talking to, like, a couple of presenters and stuff like that on YouTube.
It feels like he's part of the team. And people he tweeted, like, unbelievable. To be a part of this squad. And it's like, you're not part of this squad. But the way that all that's been done... The way that he is with the players all the time, and he's training with them.
Do you know what? Behind the scenes, they probably do call the media team and all that the team.
Well, you see them every single day.
Yeah. You've needed a bit of that, I feel, with England. It's always been us and them at it with the press.
That's what I was
players.
Getting at. So I wonder if the players aren't feeling the fear from the media and the fan base, because that's definitely been there in the past. Mm. You know, that standoffishness has created a bit of a divide. Oh, yeah. And I wonder if that's one of the reasons why this England team does look... Mm. Because they've made all of the wins look comfortable, including Germany, even though it was a lot tighter than 2-0 suggests.
That Germany game, that was a turning point for me. 10 minutes in, I went, we're getting overrun like fuck, and this is going to be stage fright for all these players, because they're going to go, shit,
they stayed calm.
This is the England thing. Yeah, and they stayed calm, and they just hit them on the break. And that was prime, like, Jose looking shit. That's why one of them where you go, we're going to lose. How many is it going to be?
Yeah,
that?
So
and then you go,
I'll
how the
definitely,
fuck have we won that game?
I'll fucking happily give Southgate credit for that. But you can't be reductionist into go, well, we've only got everything right. Mm. Nah, he won despite quite a few mistakes, I think. And against Italy, like, I want England to win this because I can't, this fucking country needs it. I think Italy needs it. I think any country needs to win it.
That's
what's
a good,
happening.
Like, when you hear, like, this country deserves it because of what we've been through, you think, it's been a bed of roses.
Pandemic.
Italy didn't have COVID, they were okay. Like, you can argue that with any country, can't you?
I think they all need it. I think being someone who lives in England, it would be great if England won it because this place is going to go off. I mean, out here the other day where we are in the middle of Manchester, it was like the fucking purge happened. It was insane.
It was like a rave.
It was fucking bananas in the streets. It was fucking absolute, it was fucking bananas. Yeah, it was fucking wild.
12 hours, whatever. It's 12 hours.
For a semi-final.
Yeah, all laws are off. You can do what you want.
So Sunday, I can't even imagine what Sunday's going to be like.
Yeah, it is, man. I think Southgate's done credit. Also, Southgate's been talking about Marcus because... Marcus hasn't played a lot. He's featured in a couple of games. And obviously Rashford, you always think of him as one of Southgate's go-to players. He usually plays him. He starts quite a lot of games under Southgate. Obviously made him captain just before the competition started. And yet he's been substituted. I think he's come on as a sub twice, so he's not really been in his tournament so far. And he's just sort of commented saying, we've got some stars who haven't had the amount of football they would want. The likes of Marcus Rashford, who has just got on with things and accepted that at the moment he's had to wait and be patient, but we wouldn't have got to the point we've got without the mentality of the whole group. I mean, it's a weird one with Marcus as well, isn't it? Because even though he's there and he's fit and he has played, and he played, like I just said, he played in that game just before the competition started, he's still not 100%. I mean, he's having an operation, isn't it, when when the tournament's over. And also, if you're going to play him anywhere, you probably play him on the left, and Sterling's been playing there and he's kind of done okay, and he can't really grumble too much about
again
him.
He's been effective without being... I saw someone the other day say there's been loads of 9 out of 10 performances, and I was like, I mean, there?
But again, that's like, he's spinning that to make it sound good for the players. If he's not going to do a Mourinho and come out and be like, yeah, these are shit, but we're winning, so whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
I mean, as well with Rashford.
He's very good at that, South
Korea. He's unfit. Yeah. He needs about 3 surgeries. And as well, he's been shit for the best part of 3 months at United.
Yeah. He's not in form.
Yeah.
But he is the kind of player that...
He'll be the first
that,
to admit it, but...
Because of how fast he is and how physical he is, like, with a slightly higher line. I mean, like, if Bonucci decides to go 25 metres from his goal line and you've got Marcus Rashford anywhere near fit, that's an absolute...
I want to ask you about this, because this seems to be the narrative that I'm, or the comment that I'm hearing from everyone. Oh, Italy have got Bonucci and Chiellini, and it was dead slow. Like, let's just get fast players at him and run at him and then we'll win.
Okay. But Joe else you've been talking been, about.
Yeah.
Harry Maguire. Ain't winning a fucking 100 metre race against a slug.
And I always think like, these players have obviously play against fast players and are kind of good at it. They must have a way of...
The whole thing is pulling that line away from the back, from the box. And you can do it. Spain did it.
Yeah.
Spain managed to find gaps in and around. And Spain aren't fast moving forward. Spain are fast when it comes to the occasional 1 and 2 touches, and they'll move the ball quickly laterally, but they don't really get it going vertically very quick. Whereas I think England's thing is... You can call it direct, you can call it long ball if you want. England can go vertically quite quick. Mm. And if you can get it into the likes of... I'm a biased, yeah. If you can get it into the likes of Jason Sanchez or fucking Marcus Rashford really quickly, you can absolutely fucking obliterate them. But if you let them get in the box, yeah. I mean, again, people are always vulnerable from crosses.
Yeah.
Because it's the speed of everything that's happening, the movement of people where you can't fucking see them because you're only seeing 180 degrees at once. Yo, and Harry Kane is a fucking elite striker. He could still score against Bonucci inside the box, but the odds are on Bonucci in this.
Yeah,
they're fucking very, very good, if not the gold standard.
Yeah.
Put tenor on Harry Kane scoring now, because I'm about to say what I'm about to say. I don't think Harry Kane's got a sniff of a chance ahead in there, because these are defenders. Fucking love defending.
Not ahead, though. But the balls that we put into the box the other night against Ukraine, was it Ukraine? Was it the Germans?
Yeah, Ukraine.
No,
yeah.
We played Denmark.
Two set piece goals.
No, the ones inside the box. Where was they? Was it Germany?
Ukraine, when we scored Harry Maguire and Harry Kane. Scored. What are you on about? The headed goals?
No. They were right inside the six.
Sorry, I thought you meant the headed goals.
No,
in the box.
You put those balls back. The Shaw crosses into the... Shaw and Grealish? Shaw and Grealish balls into the 6-yard box. That's anyone. Yeah, anyone's getting on those if you can get that close to the goal. But yeah, I think
what you said before, like, I think that's the best way, just going through them vertically. I think we've got the players that suit that.
You got to pull
that. Sancho was the best one for it. He's not going to play. Grealish is mustard at that. Who? He's not going to play. I don't know. Who's he? Jack Grealish.
Sanchez.
Jason Sanchez. Do you see the game when Spain played them? Spain's goal that they scored, where it was the most simple give and go 1-2. And they just got spun.
That's it. So England can do that. That's where Spain are good. But
do it all game.
The penetration that they've got, I don't think it's quite on the same level. Yeah. But the control that they have in midfield, I don't think we're on the same level.
But I think the balance at the back as well is going to help us, because now you've got Maguire, who's got the very good defensive partner for once next to him in John Stones. I think they complement each other really well.
That for me, though, so the area of weakness that I would look to exploit if I was Italy is when you've sucked England over to your right, their left. So you've got like this side of the picture, you've got Shaw, you've got Sterling, and you've started to pull the midfield over. A ball coming back the other way to a roundabout the D, where you don't quite know if that's Walker's or Stones. That for me right there is where England look fucking awful. The who's responsible? These are two players that have played together as well, which makes it weird. But the who's responsible for that? I think that when ball's been played from the right flank England's left flank into that sort of D area, and it's those two picking it up, I think that there is where England look the most vulnerable.
Do you reckon they're going to change the formation? Because he's done it against Scotland, and it's Italy and Scotland, nothing alike, but system dictates
both playing
how
blue.
They've done it. Both playing blue.
Yeah.
Gennaro Gattuso lived in both places.
Also that as well.
Well, there you go. Very similar.
But if they've got wing-backs... And
both countries have mountains.
If they've got wing-backs and we've got full-backs...
Then I can't understand what either of them say.
If they've got two wing-backs and then our full-backs are well bombing on, don't really want to come back, Shaw don't want to come back, Walker don't really want to come back, his pace can get him out of situations. But if he's caught 30 yards, he's got a hell of a task against him. Is he going to change the system? Because last few games have been 4-2-3-1 and it's been one in, one out. And I like that. That stability. Players get used to each other. Are we going to uproot the tree that we've just planted for the last 6-7 games to put a new system in?
I'd go 3-5-2. Because I'd give us the width to try and drag.
Would you put Shaw at wing back?
Yeah. I'd go Shaw and Trippier as wing backs. And I would go with someone like Mings.
Would you not?
You drop Walker?
Yeah.
Really? Would you not have Walker as right centre half? Maybe Shaw as left.
Because I think Italy are going to try and play it in the air.
Right. Okay.
And Tyrone Mings, that's his bread. But if they don't, you're going to want the pace of Walker in there. But when you've got three of you can handle. When it's two of you, you definitely need the pace to drop in, especially when it's Maguire and Stones. But I think having a two, if it's Harry Maguire, Spanish genius. Harry Kane and Sterling, which I think he will be, I think you need Mason Mount in the 10. Yeah. And I think it's going to be Phillips and Rice, or it could be Henderson and Rice or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen a few people saying this, is Henderson going to come in? I think Phillips and Rice has worked. Yeah. I wouldn't change that.
But I think 3-5-2 could work, because then you go man for man against the two defenders, which, let's be honest, no one does at the moment. Mm. So people are probably so used to having me and you marking him.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of me always free. But when you go and stand right on the pair of them, but again, that's the problem. Harry Kane won't stand there. I think Calvert-Lewin might fucking work.
I think the left side's where the game could be won or lost. Because I think if you put Shaw at wing back, that's an issue in itself, because he's going to go up, he's going to love that in their half, but the getting back is just what I'm worrying about. Left centre half, during the game against PSG, absolutely stormed it at left centre half. He was awesome. And then you've got Ben Chilwell, who religiously plays left wing back for Chelsea in a 3-5-2 system that's just won a European Cup. Mm-hmm. Now, I know he's not played a lot for England.
You mean not at all?
Not at all, exactly. But he's probably walking around there going, this Champions League medal. Champions League medal.
Like, breakfast and stuff like that.
Oh, I would.
Oh, sorry, I've just got milk on my fucking Champions League.
Did you see that picture of Azpilicueta when he was having coffee with it on the morning after? He just had the Champions League trophy, sat there, and he had an espresso.
Do you know what? I fucking hate Chelsea, but I'm there for that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Don't win stuff and pretend you've not won stuff. Don't be like a dick like fucking Robertson was. But those sorts of things I've got time for.
Lewandowski waking up in bed with it.
I fucking shower with a fucking thing and everything.
Yeah. How much champagne do you reckon been drank out of that thing?
All of it.
A lot.
All of it. I know boxers who used to bang when they won a belt. That was all they were. All of them. You're like, that needs so anti-backing. Big time.
Are we doing a Wally of the Week on this as well? Okay, fair enough. We're going to do Wally of the Week. We're going to do it on the brew now, apparently. Right, okay.
Fucking rules.
Listen, Producer Joe says what Producer Joe gets.
Well, he's fucking Wally of the Week then.
Right, okay, thank you. Wally of the Week for you, go on.
Come to me last. I've not got anyone in my head at the moment.
Do you know what? Can I say? I know we don't usually do this. Let's just do this one. Wally Week, are all these Tories wearing bloody England tops and cheering?
I mean, you do go political on here occasionally, so you do do that.
I do that. I say I don't, but I practically do it every time we're on
it. It's like your thing.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not even sorry, actually.
And have they all got fucking tickets?
And what is
was
this?
They all successful in the ballot?
What's this?
They all have maximum credits. Did they go to Azerbaijan away, did they? Fucking stop it.
Honestly, I actually feel sorry. Well, I don't, because they're working for Tories, but the cameraman who was just sat there going, just do that again. Just do that again. Honestly, the most boring job in the world.
You see, Boris Johnson.
Go on.
Honestly, like, how's someone at government not gone, can we employ someone to dress this fucking bumbling idiot?
I know.
Like, he went there with a suit that he looked like he bought from a fucking charity shop. This is the Prime Minister. It's not a bad paying job, that.
But it's all part of the answer.
Is it though? I don't know if it is. He's a fucking
He knows, like, it's all that thing. Oh, he's a bubbling idiot as he bombs a country.
He's wearing a fucking charity fucking shop suit with a shirt, and he's put the England shirt on under it and put on the top. Like, turn it in, you fucking drip. Who's his support?
Harley Quinn's.
Not a. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? If he was like, I mean, you knew some politicians.
Supports all the teams, all the soccer teams.
Like fucking, loves them all. What's it called? Prince William. You know, I mean, I'm sure he's fucking big on the halt and like apparently a Villa fan. Right?
Yeah, sure.
But love at least you're aware that there's some sort of a connection there. Like, I think Prince Harry's an Arsenal fan. Of course he is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But who the fuck do you support, Bojo? Pretty Patel? Oh, I saw a right good tweet about her. Well, she tweeted something like, it's coming home, and someone put, did you mean you're fucking going home?
Yeah.
What you meant to say.
Yeah, she ended up deporting it. Go on.
Arsenal Football Club.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, that, because they're... Go on, I'll let you explain why.
There's been a massive rumour. Is it confirmed?
I think it is semi-confirmed. I think it's almost here we go.
Now, Amazon are making their documentary All or Nothing at Arsenal Football Club, which we hope goes the same route that it did in the Tottenham one, just with the cameras rolling this time.
Yeah, but even when the cameras were rolling,
they
just chopped it out.
Yeah.
The gold that they had of sacking one manager and bringing Mourinho in, they PG'd the fuck out of.
Yeah.
But here's Mourinho, and you're like, oh,
that was the thing we all wanted to
see. Show me the fucking row.
Yes.
I know you got a camera in his office, so where is it?
I just feel like there's too much.
I'll pay for that. Do if Prime go, you can have it, it's $10.99. Fucking there you go. Yeah. Last three digits in.
The mean potential, that's all I'm thinking about.
Like, I just can't be doing with him. All those too much about him.
Suddenly Until I Die, you've got the one about where he's like, EDM music plays, and then it goes, can't play any of that if we don't get the speakers to play.
EDM music stops.
Yeah. Roll the office intro. It's perfect for it. Unbelievable.
Suddenly Until I Die is fucking wicked.
The Spurs one as well, you've got the Mourinho one where he's talking about him on the telly, and he's writing something, and he goes...
There were so many memes of that about where people had edited other stuff in and gone and turned the telly off.
It's unbelievable. If you can get something like that, so good.
At Arsenal.
And Arsenal.
There's going to be loads in
there. Arteta's going to have to actually coach.
they might edit it to make it look like he does. Right, so you're going with Arsenal. I'm going with just, you know, Tories. Or, you know, to be honest with you, just politicians loving the football. Because Keir Starmer's up there with him as well, with his poses. Who have you gone with? I can't remember who you said. Oh, you said producer Joe, but I think you were joking, so go on.
Don't presume.
Right, okay. Anyway, enough of that. What are you doing with yourself anyway, you little punk?
Well, do you know what? If you've not watched live football,
right,
and most of you have not for a minute,
then
we're allowed spectators tomorrow. We've got a double header.
Right, go on.
Paddock are playing Denton, the big friendly clash. If you're in the Denton area, have a look on the Paddock FC Twitter and come and join us. Kickoff is at 12 for the resis and 2 for the first.
Nice. What about you little weasel?
I'll be doing the same. I'll be filming it. Sunny Denton.
I don't think it's planned to be sunny.
Right, well, you can check these two out if you're in the Denton area. If not, you can know where to find them on socials. Where's your socials, actually? Mr. Patterson?
You can find me on Twitter, Adam Patterson. But the O is a zero.
Go and check him out because he loves a good reference to The Office. Hey, he loves a good joke. You know where to find him as well. Make sure as well you're hitting like, share and subscribe and hit the notification bell as well so you're getting all the updates when we go live. And we will be going live when Manchester United do anything of note. This has been Housen's Brew. That's been Stephen Housen. I'm Jay Moyet. That's been Adam Patterson. Thanks for watching. Podcast Network.